Welcome to Invisible. I'm your co-host, Niharika Katrigata. Alongside me is Emily Patton today. And the issue that we decided to talk about was cultural appropriation. Now, cultural appropriation is taking intellectual property, traditional knowledge, cultural expressions, or artifacts from someone else's culture without permission. And so a little bit later, we're going to have on Haley Watson. And yeah, so...
Good morning, Carmel. You're listening to 91.3 WHJE. You're also listening to Invisible. I'm your host, Emily Patton, and alongside me is Niharika Katrigata. Today in the studio, we have Haley Watson. Want to say hi?
Hi.
And we are going to be talking about cultural appropriation, but first, let's get to know Haley a little bit. So tell us a little bit about yourself.
I was actually just recently a student here. I graduated just last semester, so it hasn't been all that long. Though I like to read a lot. I'm a big One Direction fan. A lot of people don't know that. It's really bad. Right now I'm just taking like two classes at Ivy Tech, and I work at Bubs, and then I also nanny part-time.
I know you're like huge into being like, you kind of want to be like a social activist in the future.
Yeah, correct? Like I'm really into, not like so much as like arguing with people about it, but I like talking about certain issues that a lot of people are afraid to address, and I just really like talking about, like learning about it. I like becoming more educated on things I didn't know myself before. I like having those conversations with people.
Mm-hmm. And well, you're on the right show for that, because that's what we're basically all about.
Yep.
And so today we're talking about cultural appropriation, as you know. And we have a couple questions, just like brief little things before we come back with our next segment.
All right.
But we just want to know, what does cultural appropriation mean to you?
Cultural appropriation, means to me, it's when a group takes a culture mainly from a minority group and tries to claim it as their own.
Mm-hmm. Can you give an example of that?
Like me walking out with a bindi on my head when that doesn't apply to me at all, or a white person getting dreads, or cornrows, or someone of Asian descent, like walking around with a Native American headdress on, just something like that, mm-hmm. just that doesn't belong to your heritage at all, or just to your religion, or so forth.
Yes. And have you ever witnessed or been a victim of cultural appropriation?
I have witnessed it too many times, so mm-hmm. unfortunately. What do you mean by victim, though?
Like, has anyone ever, like, kind of, like, done something that has, like, made you... been like
uncomfortable, yeah. within just
like uncomfortable with like who you are, being like, wow, that doesn't sit well with,
right,
me.
I have actually, this it happened like last summer, I believe. It was when I had braids. I was working, I was hosting that day, and it was just, I was supposed to talk to customers when it's busy out and when we're hosting, and this guy asked me, came up and he said, are you a Rastafarian? And I said no. I asked, why do you think that? And he said, oh, because you have braids. And I'm just like, I'm not. And he's like, are you sure? Because I spent 2 weeks in Puerto Rico, so I think I know. And I'm like, no, well, you clearly don't. I promise you, I'm not a Rastafarian. It's just my hair, and I've tried to talk to people about it. It's happened online. I've tried to talk to people about it, but it just turns into them becoming very angry, mm-hmm. and not wanting to listen at all.
Yeah, not listening to two sides of the story.
Not at all. Yeah, it's just they just don't want to hear it at all.
What are some of the things that, like, when you tried to talk to them, that they would like respond with that they didn't like? Do you like? I know that's like hard to remember. But,
I would just mainly like the definition. And what I would say what cultural appropriation is, and I said it's wrong, and you really shouldn't do it because it might offend some people.
Mm-hmm.
And some might find it more offensive than others, and they didn't want to hear that, and they're like, oh, so you're offended by hair? And I'm just like, well, if you really want to get specific, yes, I am, because that's my culture you're trying to take right now and claim as your own. And it's very frustrating, and it's hard to try and get into a topic that no one wants to discuss, because anything race-related, no one ever wants to talk about. No one even wants to get near it. No one wants to touch it. And that's unfortunate, because then we can't solve those issues unless we talk about it.
Exactly. Do you think some of the reasons that, like, maybe people are so, like, you know, angry about it is because it's kind of dealing with maybe the freedom of expression? Or, like,
just... It is. That has to a lot to do with it. And that's, like, the argument that most people will make, freedom of expression. And I do believe in freedom of expression, that's fine, but it's just you have to know things that are okay to do on a social standpoint. Like, I'm not going to walk, there is freedom of expression, but I'm not going to walk outside my door with like a swastika shirt on. Okay. Like, that's, I'm not going to do that. And again, you're freedom of expression, but I don't know anyone that's going to walk out in like a KKK outfit just cause.
Okay. Exactly. I think that part of the thing is too, is that just to like, people need to kind of, think through their actions before they, you know, make decision, major decisions like that. And I think also you need to educate yourself on like, kind of get like, also know the people around you, know your location, kind of feel like this is what's right and this is what's wrong. Know like the fine line, you know what I mean? And respect all angles.
Yeah.
I think that like, I think for me, for example, since I'm Indian, I think that I can definitely see like what you're talking about, because I mean, as much as like, I want to like be okay with it, like when I do see somebody who like doesn't really understand our culture and is like wearing our outfits or like putting on a bindi and just like taking like selfies and stuff like that, it's just kind of like, well, do you really understand Indian culture is about the entire thing, like our religion and like you mentioned before.
Right.
So I kind of get that. It's, I'm kind of like trying to be both sides, but like I'm definitely same as you, just a little bit more.
All right, guys, we're gonna come right back with Hallie Watson, and for now here is Broods with Bridges. Welcome back to Invisible. You're listening to 91.3. I'm your host, Emily Patton, and alongside me, as always, is Niharika Katragata. And last segment, we touched on cultural appropriation with Hallie Watson. And now we're going to be talking with Hallie and Niharika about an article by Times Magazine, and it is called Cornrows and Cultural Appropriation, The Truth About Racial Identity Theft. And the article starts off with... the question, is the current cornrow controversy much hairdo about nothing, or a gateway crime against black culture that includes stealing everything from music to art to clothes to language? And I wanted to ask you, Hallie, what do you feel about like those questions? Like, how would you respond to those?
Okay. So this is, again, like a really touchy topic for some people. And what it is, okay. It is a gateway, I agree, like, with this question, kind of, it's, it is a gateway, it usually starts with hair, is usually what it is, just because people think, oh, it's just a small thing, it's just hair, and that's what people get wrong, at least for me, anyway, like, I don't speak for every African-American in the world, but for me, anyway, and a couple of my friends that I know that are also African-American, it is a big deal, even though to other people it's just hair, because that's a large part of our culture, like braids and cornrows, like that started way back in the day, like slave-wise, because of our hair. That's why it was to keep our hair. That's crazy, to keep it down and needed while they're doing work, while they're doing their slave work. And so, it's that's a painful history as well, slavery. So, for someone to just feel like it's okay and think of it as just hair when they don't know the history, it's very frustrating to see and to hear when people say that as well.
Another thing that article mentions is, it says later on something along the lines of how it can, like, an Oscar, like an award-winning Oscar lady is walking down the red carpet and she has cornrows in her hair and it's seen as beautiful and everything like that, but there's also this, like, a little girl in Los Angeles and she has cornrows and that's representing how her ghetto lifestyle is. And it's just like, you don't know what you're doing just by like doing something so simplistic. It's also very complex.
Right. And like with the Oscar thing, that reminds me of, it happened, I believe last year. I don't know if like too many people remember it, but it was with when Zendaya Coleman, she was at the Oscars and she looked beautiful, absolutely beautiful. And she had dreads. Still looked great though. No big deal. And it was like later that night, the fashion police, and they bash on everyone, no big deal, but they got to her, and I forget what that lady's name is. I can't remember her name, but one of the hosts of the show, she was talking about Zendaya's hair and saying that she looks like she smells like, and like this is what she said. She looks like she smelled like patchouli oil or weed just 'cause of her hair. But then this same lady like at least 2 weeks before, just the same lady was talking about Kylie Jenner and saying, and Kylie Jenner had dreads at the time, and was saying how Kylie Jenner looked edgy and cool with her dreads. And I didn't understand that. It's just like, what's the difference other than Kylie Jenner is white? And that's like kind of goes into the whole white privilege thing, mm-hmm. and just because both of them looked fine. I'm not saying Kylie Jenner looked bad with it. She shouldn't have had them, but she didn't look terrible.
Yes.
But to praise one and to just degrade the other for the same thing just doesn't totally make sense to me.
And another thing is that this magazine and like this article, they really tried to get like white people to kind of understand how it feels to be culturally appropriated. And one way that they described it was, they said it's kind of like wearing the teeth of your pledged enemy as a necklace. So it's just kind of like, it's like straight to the heart. Yeah, it's just kind of like, whoa, mm-hmm. takes you a step back kind of thing.
I think when, I always go back to my culture, not that your culture
No, you're fine.
I was trying to like describe it. I think I saw a picture of Selena Gomez, and I like her a lot, but she was wearing a sari, and she was wearing like a bindi, and like I was kind of a little bit, I don't know, like I was kind of like, are you kind of like kidding me? Like you don't really know what you're like, you don't really know what you're doing. And I got kind of mad because I was just kind of like, are you kidding me? That's not, just because you have a bindi and a sari on doesn't mean that you, because I don't know, I just think that altogether the Indian culture is more than just that, you mm-hmm. know, and I think that people only like it because, oh, there's jewelry and then there's pretty clothing and then you just like look pretty and you, ours just doesn't deal that much with hair obviously, mm-hmm. but like, it's just kind of like, I was kind of pissed off. I was like, okay, that's not, I may not understand all of it, but I, you know, like, I totally get what you mean there, you know, like I've seen that before and it's like, no, like.
I think another thing is, very commonly you see girls like at music festivals, this is like totally basic, but you see so many girls with like bindis on and like all these like fake little temporary tattoos mm-hmm. around their arms that have like Aztec things, but you don't, like, they don't understand, they're using that for fashion, they're not understanding mm-hmm. like the background behind it,
right.
So it's just to those who really practice that certain like mm-hmm. culture, it's just kind of like, wow, you know.
I mean, I think also I like forgot to mention the henna thing too, like people are like really into henna and stuff like that, and like, I mean, that's fine, you know, you can like wear it, but I think that like I think there was like, who was it? It was like Ariana Grande or something, she had a picture of like her henna or whatever, and then there was like some, I followed this like Desi, like I don't know, like it's a Twitter account for like crazy girls, you can find anything on Twitter, but and like there's like, and so the girl posted and she's like, she was saying something about how like she didn't understand it because it's like, you're right, it's like, it's for like prettiness, like that's the reason they do it, and then it's like, you know, that's not like everything about it. So,
and another thing that this article says is, it says that like most people believe like, well, America's the melting pot of the world, like mm-hmm. we're supposed to kind of have every culture woven into each other, and you know, and it like, to this helps end racism mm-hmm. because it's mending mm-hmm. all these cultures together, but I think the sad reality is that it's not, it's more like,
it's maybe allowing more, like, for the Caucasian people to have more, mm-hmm. like, freedom. But then when it comes to people that are, that have the culture,
minority and stuff, it's not, it's like,
okay, you can't do that. And it's like, are you kidding me? Like, yeah, a lot that's of people, our culture.
A lot of people make that argument that it's just, what I've been said to when I try and tell people about it, just, like, what someone said to me, actually, on social media, they said, you're the reason America has problems with cultural diffusion. I said, well, I was like, that's a pretty bold statement right there. Just me solely responsible
only
for that.
You.
Yeah, just like, I'm going to say no on that. And I'm not saying that, because people confuse the two a lot, and that's very easy. Mm-hmm. Like, cultural diffusion is like me going out to a Mexican restaurant and trying Mexican food. Like, that's like an example of it.
Mm-hmm.
Or like me like going with my friend to a Pakistani festival, because I have done that before, and that's cultural diffusion, me getting involved in another culture. I'm not taking it. Like, I'm not gonna walk in with a hijab on or anything.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that would be just wrong. Like, but me attending that and just being a part of that, experiencing it, that's cultural diffusion. And people like to say or use that as an excuse for cultural appropriation. And what people also need to know, just people's struggles, my struggle, Nihirika's struggle,
mm-hmm.
it's not a fashion statement at all. And a lot of people just don't, just forget that or don't want to acknowledge it at all.
They just pass it. And another thing is, actually, our next segment will touch more about this, but there was recently a song released by Macklemore and Ryan Lewis featuring a wonderful singer. I can't remember her name right now, but she her voice is spectacular. I've heard some of her own stuff. Anyway, and it's called White Privilege 2. And there was a first one that was released back in 2005 by Macklemore and Ryan Lewis, but this one kind of focuses on more of, like, the police brutality type things and, like, just all the things that are going on right now in our world, not back in 2005, like how that song was. But it says something along the lines of how people are just stubborn and they don't want to, you know, they don't want to have to take the time out of their day to, like, educate themselves about other people, and they don't want to have to, you know, they just don't care. They're like, as long as I'm not being called a racist, I don't have nothing to worry about. And that's honestly very true, sadly. But yes, we'll talk more about that after this next song. This is Fits in the Tantrum. Welcome back to Invisible. I'm Emily Patton, your host. Next to me is Niharika. And we also have Holly Watson with us. And we're going to be talking about cultural appropriation like we have been for the past hour. And this segment, though, specifically, we're going to be talking about a Macklemore and Ryan Lewis song that was released pretty recently, I think a couple of days ago. And it's called White Privilege 2. It's like a kind of like a sequel to his song that he released back in 2005 called White Privilege that touched upon the like problems with race and stuff like that back in 2005. But now it's more like 2015, 2016 stuff, you know what I mean? Pretty recent stuff. And the song starts off with him talking about how he's not black, but he doesn't feel like what's going on in the world is right. He's like, what do I do? He's like, I feel like my word isn't important. Like, how can I help? But like, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So Hallie, I have a question. If like, for me, example, I think that this is a very strong issue. Like I feel very passionate about it, but I'm just a normal white woman. Like what can I do to help type thing?
What I encourage my friends to do, they've asked me this too. What I encourage my friends to do is to become more educated on it, of course, and then try and tell your friends about it. If you see one of your friends or a family member doing anything, like cultural appropriation is what we're talking about, doing that, let them know. If they don't want to listen, fine, but at least tell them, at least try and communicate that with them, just like, hey, what you're doing, not okay, and it's not a good thing to do, I don't recommend it, it could be offensive to others. They don't want to listen again, that's their choice, but at least like making that effort to like spread the social awareness is like a big thing I push for people to do.
Mm-hmm. How would you want her to go about that though, like without like, because I know that you said before that like when you do mention it people get really like pissed off and like
that's like it's kind of like an unwinnable battle, because most of the time no matter how you say it people are going to be like just like offended that you even brought it up. But just you have to be just go up to them and be like, hey, what you're doing is called cultural appropriation. Here's the definition. Here's why it's wrong. I don't recommend you do it again. And either you're going to get the okay, I understand, and they're going to keep doing it, or you're going to get the whole, oh, you don't know what you're talking about. Like, how dare you say that to me? Or on a rare occasion, you're going to get the people who are just like, yeah, that makes sense. You're right. I'm sorry I did that. And it's most of the time, though, it's the first two, unfortunately.
And I mean, at least like also if that is the case, like with the first two scenarios that you mentioned, then at least like, I mean, it might not hold with like they might not stick with them for like how it would some people. But at least they know about it, you know, and like they have the word cultural appropriation in their head and they're like, what is this? Maybe it'll like get them, you know, should I get into this? Like, what can I do? You know, type thing. And I asked you earlier before the show if you had heard the song before, and you said that you have heard the part where he called out Macklemore and Ryan, call out Miley Cyrus, Elvis Presley, and Iggy Azalea. And the line itself is, you've exploited and stolen the music, the moment, the magic, the passion, the fashion. You toy with the culture that was never yours to make better. You're Miley, you're Elvis, you're Iggy Azalea. Fake and plastic, you've heist the magic. You've taken the drums and accented you in rap. You've branded hip-hop. And I think how I took this as with Miley thing, that he's kind of pinpointing, like, you're taking this culture and you're making it a fashion statement.
Right. Mm-hmm. And that's and what I think most people do.
Exactly. And then with Iggy, it's like, you are taking another culture's music, like, that they created and everything like that, and you're just kind of like, you know, I mean,
she's just, what makes me upset about her is, I'm not saying rap is like strictly for black people. Mm-hmm. Of course not. That's not what I'm saying at all. That's all music genres are open to everyone and anyone. But my issue with her is she's trying so hard to sound like this black woman from Atlanta.
She tries to get the accent.
Right, and I'm just like, I don't know what you're trying to do.
He mentions that later.
Yeah, I'm just like, you're just rap. You don't have to try and do a certain voice. Like, just, everyone knows you're white. It's okay you're white. Just rap like it. You don't have to, and I think it's partly because, too, like, her mentor at the time was T.I., and he's from Georgia, and so that's partly why, when she was mm-hmm. under his wing, he probably told her how to sound. So that's also kind of partly falls on him. He could have been like, hey, you don't have to try so hard to do that. But that's my main issue with her, is that she's trying so hard to sound black.
Even when she's not.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then another thing that it mentions is something with social media. And social media is, like, obviously a huge thing for our generation. And he mentions this at the end of verse 2. He says, get on Twitter, hashtag, and seem like you're down. But they see through it all. People believe you now. You say publicly, rest in peace, Mike Brown. You speak about equality, but do you really mean it? Are you watching for freedom or when it's convenient? And I think that, personally, when I was reading through these lyrics, I was like, they're making it sound like racism. Like, if you honestly go on Twitter, you find people that make it seem like racism is just a phase.
Right. Yeah.
And they try to make it sound like it's just something it'll come up and then it'll wash away and it'll come up and it'll wash away. But in all honesty, it hasn't gone mm-hmm. away for generations. And I think what he's basically trying to say here is mean what you say and stand up for what you believe in type thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really hard to kind of, I mean, I think as a teenager, especially too, because you have so many people like, eyes on you because we know how to deal with social media, you
That's
know?
Right. Right.
It's like, it's really hard to express yourself through social media, and most people aren't doing it right, like he mentions.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, it's just some lyrics.
I think it's just like, but at the same time, like, I don't want to, like, obviously, like, with the Indian culture, and like, I had an article that I read about that had talked about how, like, Indian was definitely part of it.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I mean, it is, because I know, like, I've talked to other people, you know, people outside of my race. I don't just talk to them, you know, but mm-hmm. like one of my friends, she loves, like, the Indian culture, but she's not Indian, you know, and so, like, she was talking to me about, like, wearing an Indian dress to something or something like that, and I didn't want to seem mean, but I kind of just told her, like, off. I was kind of like, well, you can't wear it, like, and mm-hmm. I didn't want it to seem like that, but I just mm-hmm. think that, like, you need to understand what you're going through, and with people, like, only doing, like, half of it, and it, I feel like that, it's weird to say this, but, like, I feel like that more people who are of, like, not, like, the Indian descent are more proud of our culture, of the parts of the culture that they
right.
like, than the actual Indian people themselves.
Mm, yeah.
And so I think that, like, that doesn't really help either with it, so.
Yeah, it's like they love the culture but not the people.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's another frustrating part as well. Like you love the music that we make, you love the outfits that we wear,
mm-hmm.
You love the languages that we speak, but the person themselves or the people themselves, you don't want anything to do with.
Yeah, that's right.
And another thing is I keep referring back to the song.
That's okay.
It's
that's
just, it's just such a good song. All right, in verse 4 of the song, he says there's a lot of opinions and a lot of confusion. Like, he's kind of saying, like, no one knows exactly what to do. And he also mentions that, like, it's all in the hands of the people and how we have to kind of pave the way for how this is going to end out, because like we're mm-hmm. we're the people, like we have to decide what's going on.
Yep.
Like, you know what I mean? And it says, like, no one cares unless you're being accused of being a racist, which
right.
is honestly that's
like the ultimate thing that yep. like to call a white person, that's like the ultimate insult apparently. It's like racist, or just even like if they feel like they're being called racist, that's just like the worst thing in the world.
Mm-hmm. And then he says also that he says, white supremacy isn't just a white dude in Idaho. White supremacy protects the privilege I hold. White supremacy is the soil, the foundation, the cement, the flag that flies outside my home. White supremacy is our country's lineage designed for us to be indifferent. And then he later on says, we take all what we want from black culture, but will we show up for black lives?
Yeah.
And it's just like, the whole mm-hmm. song just kind of makes you like think. And I think that it's a great job that he made this song. It's especially, it kind of like, it's a little bit of a headline thing too, because he's a white rapper.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And in the song, he even calls out one of his fellow white rappers. So it's just kind of like,
I think, you know? It's a very big step, and it's a good first step, mm-hmm, to mainstream media and the world, because a lot of people know who Macklemore and Ryan Lewis are. A lot of people listen to their music, so it makes me happy to see someone like A-List finally addressing the issue and making it public. I know he addressed it before, but he wasn't that big in 2005. Mm-hmm. Neither of them were. So I think for them to do it now of all times as well, when a lot of cultural appropriation is becoming bigger and bigger, mm-hmm, is a very good first step. And I hope a lot of people listen to the song and actually like really, really listen.
Take something away from it.
And like learn something from it. And like listen, saying, hey, what he's saying is right and it's true. Because everything in here, if you read the lyrics, it's better to read these lyrics,
mm-hmm,
so you can actually like see it and take it in. That he's saying is true and you can relate to it and be like, I never thought of it like that before.
Another good thing is that it's, well, also, he made right timing with it. It's New Year, mm-hmm, new music.
Yep.
New him. And it's just like, you know, it's a good timing. It's like, hey, maybe 2016 we can try and fix this.
Or address the issue, maybe. Exactly. Yep.
And then also, I think it's also good because he also came out with that song, Same Love. You know?
Oh, yeah. That's right.
And
yeah,
that kind of brought awareness to gay marriage. And mm-hmm, now look at where we are. You can, gay right, marriage is like,
you can marry whoever you want right now.
That's it. Right. Yep. And so, like, I don't know. When I read these lyrics and I saw that it was by Macklemore and Ryan Lewis, I was just like, hopefully, I mean, this says something.
But you could see that because you're right. Like, they did the Same Love song or whatever, so you could definitely see that they're addressing different issues.
Right. Mm-hmm. It helps a lot when there's a powerful voice speaking.
Especially a celebrity voice.
Right. And Macklemore and Ryan Lewis, they're both very powerful figures right now in the music industry, and a lot of people pay attention to what they do. And so them releasing that, I appreciate that a lot, and like, it does help a lot. And I know for people who really don't understand cultural appropriation, why it's so frustrating. I said this before before we started, but it's like, it's just totally viewed as wrong by society and just totally offensive. If I were to walk out of my house wearing like an army uniform when I'm not in the National Guard, like I have nothing to do with it. Just to walk out with it, just to be like, oh, I think it looks cute.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like that with any other culture, like with you walking out with a bindi on or a hijab or like wearing a Native American headdress, like that's what it feels like. It's like, that's offensive, and that's just like, that doesn't belong to you. Like, so I don't know why you're doing that.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, that is all we have for the show today, and we appreciate you so much, Hallie, for coming on. Do you have any last words you want to say?
I just, for people who are listening, I hope people know that you're free to do what you want. You are, but just know every action is going to have a reaction, be it positive or negative, so you need to be aware of what you're doing and how it affects those around you. And I hope that people learn to not offend others so much all the time.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much, Hallie.
Thank you.
And then tune in next time for Invisible.